My name is Alex Bresny. I will be trying to adhere to this time limit. How many of you Huskies or Cougs? Nobody? Jayhawks? All right, well, safe then. So I'll try to briefly discuss objectives. I will talk about the community demographics, the community that I practice in and I'm public health officer in. And Moses Lake, Washington, is the community that we actually focused on. We'll talk about infant feeding as a healthy community component. I'll describe a study that we did. I will talk about seven major breastfeeding barriers that we found, and we'll talk a little bit about how our community is understanding infant feeding. And also talk about our experience with infant feeding policy changes that we had in Eastern Washington in our community. So Grant County is where Moses Lake, which is the community that we studied, is. It had a population of roughly 83,000, according to 2006. But we perceive that we're probably 10,000 more due to illegal immigration that is that's quite prevalent in Eastern Washington due to the fruit picking, apple orchards, etc. It was the third fastest growing county in Washington between 1990 and 2000. So fast growing, rapidly changing from more conservative, traditional to very migrant, fluent community, Russian and Hispanic immigration. Latinos consisted of 17.4%, while Caucasian 76.5%. And you see that those are the two prevalent ethnicities there. City of Moses Lake, being the largest one, has 18,000 residents. Of those, 66,000 are Caucasians, 28 Latinos. We actually think it's probably 35 to 38 Latinos. But as we know, the undercounting and underrepresentation of those that are migrant is obvious. It's a younger community. Median age is 32.3. It is not as affluent as the rest of the state of Washington, with over $40,000. You know, on average, state of Washington, it's about $55,000 per year. So definitely Eastern Washington being less in that area. So Grant County located quite centrally. As you see, we say quite to the east of the mountains, or on the east side, we say, which is very different than the west side, both from all perspectives. I mean, you could start with political to ethnical to progressive to etc. And also industry-wise, being farm predominantly. Recently, large components of technology industries are moving to the Eastern Washington due to cheap power, because we have water power. Columbia River provides us with hydroelectric power. So, centrally located Moses Lake on the map here, roughly halfway between Spokane and Seattle, towards Spokane more. Just a few images, just kind of have an idea of what we look like. This is the city hall and courthouse of the county seat. And that's where a larger study was to be conducted based on a 2002 initiative where Centers for Disease Control selected 12 states and provided them with seed monies to research how to improve nutrition and physical activity in small communities. Of those 12 states, Washington was one selected, and interviewed 10 small communities where they were to conduct a pilot project. Of those, Moses Lake, Washington was selected the winner. And thus, Healthy Communities Moses Lake Project was born. So the project really was intended to study obesity, think about it that way, obesity and nutrition, healthy nutrition, physical activity, etc. It was interesting to see that this is at the entrance of Moses Lake. Welcome to Moses Lake. The reason Moses Lake was selected, there were several reasons, but the biggest one was that it was a small to medium-sized community. It was relatively ethnically diverse for Washington State. It already had some local partnerships and quite cooperative stakeholders. There were community interests. The mayor of City of Moses Lake was significantly interested in having a larger study like this going in his community, and it was an outside urban core community. Outside representatives from University of Washington, from Department of Health, Washington State Department of Health came and facilitated the meetings and forming of local advisory committee. So if you think about community building for your classes, past experience perhaps, and master's work in public health, community building efforts, community development, etc., you form a local advisory committee where most of the stakeholders were represented. And surprisingly, they were very interested in breastfeeding, and I'll show you how. This is just a few images from the kickoff project that started really in July 2002 and is ongoing. We had a walk through the city to start the project and walk through the theater and had a good participation from the community as well. We had yellow hats on our heads and tried to distinguish ourselves from the rest. We had booths, we had the farmer's market. As the local advisory committee continued to meet throughout the July, et cetera, of 2002, it selected three chief interventions. Now, surprisingly to all, you notice number three there on this table. It selected the breastfeeding as something that they felt is a good nutrition at birth as part of good nutrition in life. They felt if you start early on with a good nutrition, you are more likely to continue. So building a perception, building a something that would be conductive to healthy choices in the future. I will not talk much about those two other path systems, pretty obvious one, exercise, etc., and community garden. Somewhat surprising to me, too, but it did make it on the list for the fact that it does attempt to provide nutrition. In the community, it's predominantly farming. You would think, why would you want another community garden? But there are urbanites in the small rural areas, and many people are moving from California cheaper cost of living. A few more images from some subsequent meetings in November, December. It does get colder too. So what we embarked on in our little group, which is the breastfeeding planning committee, we were looking at what are the barriers. We just really realized that in Moses Lake, we knew there was a very low continuation rate, about 6 months of breastfeeding. The data was very difficult to find. We thought that this is between 7 to 15% of continuation at 6 months, which is horrible. And if you think at initiation intent, which was about 50 to 60%, we didn't know what was going on. Why is there such a big loss? Now, most of us were not researchers on the team, so those that were somewhat interested in that ended up doing the study, which was looking at what are the barriers and enhancers or facilitators of breastfeeding in our community. And what does our community think in general about breastfeeding? So what are the general perception in our community about breastfeeding, and why is it that people do not breastfeed exclusively? The third area of interest was looking at workplaces, which we kind of thought was something that might extend from this study after we saw some preliminary results of the study. So we surveyed approximately 400, or exactly 400 random subjects over 6 weeks period, via phone and mail interviews, follow-up interviews. We attended four times, etc. I could go into methodology. The point was 400 individuals or households that we attempted to contact. We collected demographic data and those perception and attitudes data. We used approximately 45 perception statements, and we used five-grade response scale. We collected 254 valid samples, valid responses. So if you think it's about 63.5%, I think in general, that would be considered acceptable, pretty good. If you break this down, who are the ones that we lost to follow up? Predominantly men. If we had men responding, picking up phone or a mail address in our random sample, we had more commonly encountered a loss to follow up. Of those that we were not able to contact, 75% nearly were men. And then we came up with these results. Those are seven chief barriers that we identified in Moses Lake. Now, I was surprised. I don't know if you were or are. When you see that workplaces almost single-handedly pull the barriers towards the environment, away from what you personally may think about breastfeeding barriers, what you may have read, studied, you would feel that there are a lot of different barriers that have been published in literature. In this Moses Lake community, 87.8% felt that mothers going back to work is a barrier, a major barrier to breastfeeding. If you look at this graph, you will see that the percentage goes from left to right, and the different statement is up and down. Not surprisingly, the second one was when babies started daycare, so 72%. Again, environmental barrier. Maybe the first and second are related. If you have to go to work, you gotta have to have the baby to be able to go to work. So daycares would be the other barrier. And then you notice those other five, interfering with private life, 70%, mothers being embarrassed in the community, breasts becoming too sore, inconvenient overall, taking too much time. Those we refer to as intrinsic or maternal or perhaps even convenience barriers that really don't have to do much with the community at large. I apologize for the next slide after this one, but this just summarizes what I just said. So returning to work was the chief barrier at nearly 88%. Top two barriers were environmental barriers, starting work or baby starting daycare, and the other ones were convenience barriers. Surprisingly, when you break the convenience barrier, we did quite a bit of different analyses statistically at demographics versus the responses, and we found that indeed there was a big difference between men and women when how they responded to this. So convenience barrier were actually much higher ranked by men. You would think, all right, what does that mean? And I will leave you with that thought. I'll leave you with that thought, and we'll talk about it maybe a little bit later. The healthcare barriers were seen as much less important. Now, we think about the hospital as the place that really needs to go for the breastfeeding and the breastfeeding consultants, and et cetera. And yet, in this community, it didn't seem to be the big problem. This is the busy slide. No, it's not. One after that. So the workplaces. Who thought the workplaces were the most common ones, the most difficult barrier? Women, American-born, college-educated, those that do not participate in WIC, those that are working full-time before pregnancy, i.e. intending going back to work after pregnancy, and those that were bottle-fed in the first 6 months of their own life. So past behavior, predictive of future behaviors, what is a community norm is another piece that is important. So here is the more busy slide that I will just state. Notice that the healthcare barriers are towards the bottom. So you have breastfeeding is not healthy, completely at the bottom, 4.7%. So there's not an issue about whether we believe or not that the breastfeeding is healthy. Another busy slide, and the intent of this slide to show you is that this community had a very, very breakdown approximately with the statement 1 through about 11. But once you start looking 13 through 16, you can find schools, workplaces, you find daycares, as the community perception of the of breastfeeding in the community seems to be again environmentally determined. Overall, most of the statements that we were able to say are polarizing our groups were related to environmental barriers. I will say that it says here number two, our hospital supports breastfeeding is 67.7%. Well, that would sound great. Not before the fact that number 7 at 53.9% says that our hospital supports bottle feeding. So, workplaces, schools, strongly breastfeeding unfriendly. Bottle feeding perceives a majority behavior in our community, especially those that are not born in the United States, working full-time, those perceiving media as bottle friendly. And a prior experience with bottle feeding more likely to generate breastfeeding negative responses. And the last table here depicts what are the actual perceptions about infant feeding as a method. You'll find that overwhelming responses towards the benefits of breastfeeding or exclusive breastfeeding in this community. So how do we pull it all together? We know that breastfeeding is perceived as very highly beneficial for mothers and the babies. And women, individuals with higher incomes, those college educated and not working, were the ones that favored breastfeeding the most. Past or present breastfeeding experience, there were more agreements with breastfeeding statements. And those that were not participating in WIC had more breastfeeding supporting attitudes. So with that, I'm told I have nothing left. And literally, I have nothing left in me, but I'll be happy to answer your questions later. I will say that the major challenges we concluded were environmental. We do have a support in our community that stems from the overwhelming positive understanding of breastfeeding. However, there are some normative behaviors happening in our community, as it is that breastfeeding is perceived as minority, bottle feeding majority, and so we would have to work on those. We decided that we would need to go in the direction of policy changes, and I'll leave you with some handouts how we proceeded with City Council breastfeeding declaration, baby-friendly hospital initiative, workplaces breastfeeding policies, and breastfeeding-friendly daycares. So we addressed the environmental barriers as a result of our study, and again, I have some handouts for you. I'll be happy to answer any questions perhaps at the end since we are out of time.